86 Beaverbrook Street.
Okay, item six is a subdivision and rezoning at 386 Beaverbrook Street under file DASZ 58/2013.
Hello there.
Tony?
Ready to go? Thanks, everyone. Good evening, councilors. I'm joined with my partner, Tony Bagnulo.
Evening.
Chuck Chappell, and John Wintrop, who's going to speak to our public engagement process.
How can you have Wintrop and my other friend?
This is our first dance. We need help. Just a couple of local guys from River Heights.
Just a couple of local people, yeah.
We're very new to this process, so we need a little help.
And usually when I see him, I want to oppose, eh?
Last chance to sit outside then.
Okay, proceed.
All right. We're here to talk to you today about our application for 386 Beaverbrook Street. Just very quickly, my name is Ryan Skrabek. I'm here with my partner, Tony Bagnulo. We are both longtime residents of River Heights, the neighborhood. Tony currently lives on Campbell Street. I'm currently on Ash Street. We're both successful entrepreneurs in the city of Winnipeg. I have a real estate software development company. Tony's been in the construction and development business for a long time, and we've both been friends for over 20 years. 386 Beaverbrook Street used to be the Sir John Franklin School previously. It was owned by the Winnipeg School Division. When the school division decided to declare it surplus, they did some public consultations. They had some approved uses for the land. They were identified by the community through a public consultation process. We proposed a plan and a price to the school division, and our offer was accepted. This was the original plan that we proposed to the school division. Very quickly, it mimics the existing bays on Lanark Street. And we had agreed with the school division that we proposed this plan. They thought it was a great plan, as did we. We had an open house to present it to the community. And to our surprise, there were a number of issues with it, and the community had some issues. And we were asked to go back and come up with another plan. I can talk about the issues at some point if anyone's interested in them, but I'll just move the presentation along. I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions. We went back. Darn, we need a new plan. We took the community's input very seriously, and we came up with a different plan that we feel met all the criteria of the community. This is the application you see. This is the lot layout, or proposed lot layout, but this is the application you see originally in front of you. Five separate blocks to be rezoned R1M, and one block in the bottom left-hand corner, southwest corner, to remain PR1. This plan addressed all the issues that we heard at the open houses. The second one was held at River Heights Community Center. The plan was received favorably by almost everyone. And the plan's been posted on a website, 386beaverbrook.com, and has continued to generate significant interest and favorable reviews till now. Some details about the plan itself, what we thought our original plan was a good proposal or a good plan. But about a week ago, we received the report from the planning department that recommended that a plan not be pursued for a number of reasons. The two main reasons were that the proposed public area, the public park area, did not meet the city criteria for both size and location. And secondly, the public service recommends that a buffer strip on the east side of the property be dedicated as open space to preserve mature oak trees on that piece of land. We've both become very familiar with trees in the last couple of days to a week. We're budding arborists here, so nonetheless, in the planner's report, an alternative plan was presented. It's called Option A in the planner's report. And I'll just stand up to explain what it proposes to do here. It proposes to maintain three separate PR1 areas along Lanark to preserve the oak trees, and suggests that the southwest corner become eventually R1M. So the park essentially shifts from the southwest corner to arguably three strips on Lanark, and the bottom corner becomes R1M. We've had a lot of discussions in the last week, days, with the public service, Michael Robinson. We've gotten to know Martha Barwinski quite well in the last last few days. And arguably, Tony and I are open or agreeable to the new proposed plan. There's some issues and conditions, I guess, that we need clarified. But we're looking to come to an agreement tonight on a new plan of subdivision for 386 Beaverbrook. Our plan is identical, or just kind of, I'm going to show you a plan that's virtually identical to the planner's report or the option that we proposed here. And Tony is going to provide some handouts for clarity in terms of the discussion, the plan in detail, which is a touch more descriptive than probably what you see on the presentation here. Can you save one for me?
Sorry.
And just so we can make sure we're talking about the same thing. Very similar or almost identical to what was proposed in the planner's report. We propose that, we're upset that our park in the corner is unwelcome at the end of the day, but we understand that it doesn't meet the criteria of the city. So, and we understand and are very conscious of preserving the oaks along Lanark Street as well, too. So we've had an arborist, a very well-respected arborist, referred by, I think, Martha or Chris at the time, Gary Engel, come out and do a report, a preservation plan for the oaks, and his suggestion on the size of the parks from Lanark to be created on the east side of the property. Tony can pass out copies of the report if anyone was interested. We are proposing that the park space from Lanark be 22 feet from the property line, and that all the lots adjacent to these new PR spaces have 4-foot setbacks. The net result being 26 feet of land from the east side that would not be developed into residential properties. We would, somebody could clarify the terminology for me at some point, but we will, as this corner lot is already zoned PR1, we'd like that to remain zoned PR1, and we will come back at a point in the future to another application to have that corner zoned R1M. If there are... there's a few other quick issues that we'd like to discuss. In the planner's reports, a sidewalk was proposed along Lanark Street, and that doesn't fit any pattern that exists in the community right now. Continuing on Lanark is a series of bays all the way to Academy and to Porton, and there are no sidewalks here. In our recent understanding of trees and tree roots, my guess, Martha can speak to that obviously, that any sidewalk would affect the root structure of the trees along Lanark and be detrimental to growth preservation of those trees. So we'd like to address that. In the planner's report, an adjustment was a right of way was recommended along the back lane, which we're okay with. We had provided some dimensions to the city. We would, I assume this happens at some other process, but like to bump the project down the width of the right of way. The net effect of this would be moving this street that we're creating 4.5 feet to the south, which would position the street closer to the dividing line between two properties, hopefully limiting street lights for those residential homes on that side of Beaverbrook Street. We would like to talk about the consideration of the actual trees on the land. I understand that either a 10% land dedication or some combination of cash in lieu, arguably for lack of a better term, we'd like to offer trees in lieu. We've had an independent arborist value the trees. And if we were to, landscape an existing land dedication, funds, or as opposed to cash in lieu, consideration be given to you know, play structures, hardscaping, landscaping. We're providing, in our belief, very valuable real estate along Lanark Street, and we're willing to, adhere to the city's wishes to preserve these oak trees as opposed to a conservation easement or large setbacks. We're happy to provide this as public land, but we'd like some consideration for the value of those trees. We've discussed the 22 feet of green space along the 22 feet of green space along Lanark plus the 4-foot setback. We'll come back and deal with the bottom southwest corner in another application. And in terms of how this all comes together, when we come back for, I guess they're called variances or an application to divide the lots themselves, we don't want to have to go through the process of considering land dedication again. The land dedication that we do today is for the entire block. It will include the subdevelopment we do for the lots themselves and the new application on the southwest corner. So to be considered as an entire project, not having to come back and talk about land dedication a number of different times. I believe I've addressed everything that we wanted to talk about today. We're open to questions, comments from the administration.
Council questions? I'll wait till they come back.
Oh, could I actually refer to one more question, one more plan? In our plan right here, there's an existing lane that comes south from Kingsway, and we're going to be, in this plan, constructing a new back lane that comes this way. The requirements were, I believe, 6.25 meters for brand new back lanes. Our request would be that the previous standard being approximately 16 feet, I don't know in meters, that this lane be allowed to continue at 16 feet and continue at 16 feet along this back lane. The logic being that obviously any vehicles servicing these lanes in the neighboring community will have to deal with that size of lane regardless, and that enhancing these lanes without doing the balance of the community is valuable land in our part. We prefer that the lane just continue at 16 feet away.
Good.
Now I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. John?
I'm here to support. I'm here to answer any questions that they might have about the public engagement.
Chuck, the same,
Mr.
Yes.
Chairman, to support as well, and my brief is very simple. I was asked to comment on the jurisdiction of this committee and the application because there was some misinformation given to Mr. Robinson, and we had a number of conversations to try and sort it out with the development staff and legal staff at the city. The long and the short of which is Mr. Robinson advised this morning that the committee could proceed to hear this application should they wish to, and should the committee wish to, they could approve it in an amended form so that you've got the PR changing because you're shrinking what is being asked for rezoning, not expanding it. If you try to expand it, you can't. But if you shrink it, you can. And so I think we're in agreement that the committee, if it so chooses, can proceed to deal with the application. And I'd like to thank Mr. Robinson for his assistance in sorting this situation out.
Okay. Any questions?
No, I'll send later, for sure.
Cheryl Stoneman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You guys can head back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. You can come back if
we'll call you back.
Yeah.
Cheryl Stoneman?
Yes, I support,
sir. Okay, just for support. Jason, Mark, John, Breck?
I support.
Support. Bing Torres. Support. Remy Torres.
Support.
Okay.
Is there anyone's name who's not been called that wishes to speak in support of the application? Okay, just... In opposition.
Okay. In opposition. Nelson, can't read your last name. Can you come forward?
Sure.
You don't have to if you don't...
Nope, I'd like to.
Okay.
No. That's long.
Yeah. All right. I'm Nelson Maurer, and I live at 373 Beaverbrook Street. So I wish the diagrams are still on the screen, but I live directly across from the new roadway that they're proposing. So the traffic, although it'll be minimal, let's say, still going to be shining its headlights in my master bedroom window once the sun goes down. So I have an issue with that. It affects me directly because of that. I also see my house being at the end of that T intersection, maybe not losing any assessed value, but it certainly will lose like a resale value, in my mind being where it's going to be, not where it is now, which is in the middle of a residential street. It's now at the end of a T intersection. And that affects me directly, so I have a big concern for that. I have some concern with how, because I don't think the developers in the city got a true understanding of what the neighborhood feels about this development. They've heard from the people that have come forward and spoken up, and those are usually the ones that are, I'm not sure what the word is that I'm looking for, but they're prone to come forward and speak up. They speak their minds more so, and a lot of people are passive-aggressive, let's say. So where people in Lanark wanted to see some of the traffic move over to Beaverbrook. Beaverbrook's not a street that's set up for that traffic. Lanark has lights, it has four-way stops, it has calming circles. Beaverbrook is just a residential street. So for it to take 30 more cars, 60 more cars in and out through the daytime, although it's doable, let's say, I don't suggest that it's reasonable. I think Lanark is a street for that. And then I don't think enough consideration was given into how this second proposal could be done. I can understand how people maybe weren't accepting of the fact that the first proposal, the green space, seemed exclusive, yet it's commonplace on that street. And there were some comments made about how the city is now and how we're trying to maintain the character of the houses in the neighborhood and how the streets are set up. So if Lanark is set up that way, I don't see that it's unreasonable that it continues to be set up that way with that green space in the middle of that block. There was a comment about front drives not being commonplace in River Heights, and I fully agree with that. But in that situation, maybe a way to remedy that would be to consider how some houses on Grosvenor are situated with lots that are wide but shallow. And maybe instead of having six or seven houses along Grosvenor deep, they could have long, shallow lots and continue the back lane behind there. And then they could have a couple of long, shallow lots on Lanark in that bay. And they could continue. Then you could have that bay with that large green space. And then that would promote the traffic on Lanark, which I feel it's made to accept. And it would also eliminate extra traffic on Beaverbrook, my street. Plus, it would help me out by not having that cross street in front of my house. So I'm not saying that Plan B is bad. If you turn that roadway into maybe a sidewalk in between Lot 3 and 4 and a cul-de-sac there at the back alley, I'd be more than willing to accept that because it affects me less, and it also affects the traffic on my street. But realistically, I think if you guys, the developer, the city, could consider how the lots are laid out, possibly they could come up with a better plan for that street. And then again, the green space that's on Lanark, no one in that neighborhood is saying you need to build access to all those other green spaces so Beaverbrook and Centennial can have access to it. So why are we considering that? Why are we trying to accommodate those requests here? It doesn't suit the neighborhood. And then in regards to suiting the neighborhood, if you pull out a map of River Heights, North River Heights, let's say from Mather's Bay all the way up to Academy, from Centennial all the way down to Cambridge, I defy you to find one other cross street in the middle of a block. That does not suit our neighborhood. It should not be there. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Bruce Mahaffey?
Sir.
You want to support?
No, I am against. I would very much like to speak. Thank you.
Speak.
Council, citizens of Winnipeg, thank you.
I'd like to take this opportunity first to thank Councillor Smith for giving me the courage to do this. He was my teacher in high school. You can thank him or berate him after my little spiel, if you will.
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Certainly. Bruce Mahaffey. Can anybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Bruce Mahaffey, 379 Beaverbrook. I am Nelson's neighbor by one house. Smack dab in the middle of this property, which I have been born and raised in front of. I went to school here. I am a lifelong resident, obviously. I have chapters, volumes on this property, ranging from when it was a school and when it was a school park. I was a member at large at Sir John Franklin Community Center when they gated this property, which was deemed illegal. I also went on the CTV News to voice my opinion of this. Much to my surprise, it ended up as the headline story on Saturday night. Slow news day, obviously. Needless to say, this property has become very dear to my heart. It saddens me greatly that it's come to this stage. I inevitably knew it would, but we are at this stage and I'm voicing my opinion of it now. I'm against infill housing because I've put up with it for 3 years already behind me on the old rail line. 3 years of banging, screeching tires, air brakes going off, tractors, the reverse beeping at 6:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night for 3 years. Please indulge me. Put yourself in our position. If we are going to be subjected to yet another construction project, we are going to be facing the same treatment over and over again. The fact remains, it's sold. My opinion, the city's dropped the ball on the purchasing of this property. I'm not going to point fingers. I'm just going to criticize the city for not purchasing the property when you could have. I'm very, very disappointed in everybody for that. This is a well-established neighborhood. To start throwing new construction in left, right, and center, which is the pattern right now, is not the right way to go about doing things. Please pick up a copy of Urban Planning by Charles Montgomery about happy cities. If you want a happy city, don't do this project. Thank you, Harvey. I appreciate you grinning at that. Now, let's get into the fire hall, shall we? Congratulations on the sale of the fire hall. This particular piece of property, because what could have happened didn't happen. I do commend you on your original plan for putting the bus loop in that piece of property, okay? Now you've got a daycare surrounded by a bus route. Well, if the property was purchased by the city could have put the bus loop there. I'm just saying. You know what? I'm hoping for a miracle. It's an opportunity. I thank everybody for listening to me. Here are my questions, please. The trees are going to be remaining on Lanark. It seems as though it's making Lanark more of an exclusive area. If I understand correctly, the lane is going to move south. I would like to know exactly where that lane is going to go. If it's going to shine in my light, in my dining room, I'm opposed to that. I have another question in regards to that lane that goes from Lanark to Beaverbrook. If they are allowed to continue the back lane, would they entertain eliminating that strip going out to Beaverbrook? My next question, how long is the proposed project going to take to build? And after hearing that it's probably going to take a couple of years, I'd like to find out what concessions are going to be made for the residents, because 5 to 6 years worth of construction in a well-established area is unacceptable. I thank you for your time.
Any questions? No, I know his questions are. I'll ask the administration and the applicant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Laura Kenny.
My name is Maura Kenny. I live at 408 Lindsay, which is right on the corner of Grosvenor and Lindsay, a block and a half away from this proposed site. I'd also like to go on record to say that I'm very disappointed the city did not pick up this piece of land. I moved into River Heights about 3 years ago, and one of my reasons for moving there was because of the walkability, because of the green space, because of the character of that neighborhood. In the short time I've lived there, I have met more people. I confess I am one of the illegal dog walkers in that park, and would like to have seen it remain as a legal dog park with enhancements to it. I have met more of my neighbors, have more sense of community because of that piece of property, and I am very upset to see that it goes. Yeah. We are losing Moray and Grant as a dog park when the bridge gets extended down that way. We will lose sections of the Brenda Lipsky Park behind the Humane Society when condos are slated to go in behind there. In a city that is trying to promote health and wellness with bike paths for the cyclists, we have no place to walk our dogs unless we get in a car to drive up to Little Mountain Park, Maple Grove, or out to Kildonan. There is nothing on the west side of the city to accommodate our needs for our animals and for our healthy lifestyle. Healthy communities need green space. But given that the property has been sold, I have a couple of other issues, given that I'm on a corner that is about to see a significant increase in traffic. Though the houses may not be large in number, I don't know what the average number of cars per household is, but let's pick a number, 1.2, 1.3 cars per house. You look at the daycare that is going in around the corner, which I think is an excellent idea, except that with 48 children allocated to that facility, with twice a day coming and going, plus staff, you've got 100-plus vehicles coming in off of most likely my street or on Lanark on the other side. On top of it, you're now adding the vehicles that not only live in these new houses, but the ones that will be visiting and the vehicles that service it in terms of garbage trucks, recycling, and everything else that goes in there. I'd like to know what the city has planned to address the increase in traffic, because those side streets feeding in off of Academy, Kingsway, and Corridon are not designed for a high-density population the way it is now. Just try with the snowbanks the way they are to come up along Centennial or Beaverbrook or Lanark and zigzagging in amongst the parked cars, particularly with the snowbanks the way they are. The traffic there is already tough to get through during rush hours. So I have grave concerns, again, what my property value. I have reservations when I bought a corner property, particularly on a bus route, and have been pleasantly surprised that it has been as manageable as it has been. But with this now, with 100 cars a day just for the daycare, and this community on top of it, I question as to what my property values will be. I have a family-style home. Who's going to want to buy a home for their children with that kind of traffic on that corner down the road? In terms of healthy lifestyle, I think that sort of that number of houses crammed into that space is very unrealistic. I just don't see how it fits in with the aesthetics with the rest of the neighborhood. I appreciate that these houses are a revenue source of taxes for the city, but we are giving up a lot of green space for our dogs in other areas. Would it have been a trade-off for a small property? It is not a huge dog park. To be able to play chuck-it, frisbee. I have met elderly people who walk their dogs up who can't walk a lot themselves on a leash. But they can come up, they can visit with other individuals and let their dogs socialize. It was an ideal community situation that has been sadly now just been dismissed for the sake of tax revenue in my perspective. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you. Beth Cameron?
I'm not in opposition.
Okay, just in opposition.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called who wishes to speak in opposition? Okay. Let me have Martha.
The applicant?
Yeah.
Oh, is there another opposition?
No.
No.
I know, she filled out one, but anyways. She's with the public.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Can we have the applicant...
You want to talk to the administration now before the applicant comes back?
Yeah.
Okay. He wants to talk to the administration first.
Okay. Do it now.
Okay. So I guess the one thing I heard today, which I wasn't too sure about, and some people referenced that today, regarding moving the back lane down or on the – can you explain that, what was going on there, what they're talking about? That the back lane's an easement. They'd have to take that back lane and move it down and push – hear that part of the application? The applicant was talking about?
Yeah, well, I think it was just the way the original plan was did not include the widening of the public
back lane.
So in order to come up to today's standard, if you want them as back lane, everything has to be shifted a bit.
Right.
So that's basically what they're saying, is that it would be brought down, I guess, 6 meters?
4.5 meters.
4.5 meters.
Okay.
So just to make that point.
And, okay. And does that impact, so that would impact where that, what I'll talk about in a second, where that middle road goes through, right? That would push it down as well?
4 feet.
Okay. So
4 meters.
So 4 meters. So the house is
4 feet.
4 feet. 4 feet.
1.363 meters. So 4.5 feet.
So that would go down. So we don't really know, but I guess it would go to somebody's window, either that one particular or the one who's 4 feet over down there, which leads me to my next question, which I'd like to find out from the administration. This road that we have going through it, can you explain to me again why we have to go all the way through instead of doing a cul-de-sac-y style? Because they are correct. This doesn't happen, and this is like a short now. I call it a short block. Usually, fortunately for the walkability of the neighborhood, the blocks are very long, but they're all uniformly very long. So what was the, why did we do that? Just anybody can tell me why?
I guess I could address the plan to some degree that the applicant brought forward this plan. They indicated that they had initially put forward the bay plan, and they had indicated that the neighborhood had a number of concerns with the bay plan, so they put forward this plan as an alternative. Because the block is so wide, it's an extremely wide block compared to other blocks in River Heights. And I don't know if it was because when they were planning out the neighborhood. They had school sites along Lanark. So
right.
Yeah,
that's
so
why the bays have that model. Right.
Yes.
So really push back with the bay model. Right.
So you can't just do a lane down the middle of the block like other blocks in River Heights. Okay, you need to either have a bay or you need to have a cross street. And so they put forward this proposal for the cross street. And it's debatable about the various options, but this is what they brought forward in the public service recommended approval on this option, feeling that it was a reasonable way to develop the site.
Okay, I'll talk to the when they come back up about that a bit. Because, again, light's going to hit the people on Beaverbrook, or I guess we have the bay, more light's going to hit the people on Lanark. So it's a yin or yang almost on that one.
But that's commonplace.
No.
So that's a question, though.
Process.
Anything else for the administration?
Can I ask a question?
You go ahead.
I was just looking at your recommendations, and it's a little confusing when there's new reports the day of the hearing and stuff. The recommendations here, you're saying that because of the issues around the park, well, first of all, that you're saying maybe you can explain your recommendations. They're saying the public park does not meet city criteria for size and location, so you're recommending that strip instead? Is that what you're saying? But that has to be re-advertised if we were to even agree to that.
Well, that was something that we checked with legal services on to determine whether re-advertising would be required. And the information that we received is that the only portion of this plan that would have to be re-advertised is the southwest corner. Because it would be going eventually from a PR1 to an R1M, so they would have to come back for a separate application in the future if they wanted to.
So that's included in what they came forward with today, that they would come back later for that.
Yeah, but the rest of the plan, the advice that we received is the rest of the plan could go forward today.
So it doesn't have to be re-advertised. Okay, I was just clarifying that because when you just read the report, it sounds like you're saying it can't go ahead. But that's what was brought forward today. Said that later we'd come back with that. Could come back with
that.
With this piece.
They would have to rezone this piece.
So technically it could. I'm just trying to understand if we even had the ability to proceed with it legally. Okay.
The applicant now can come forward. This is Gaggle.
It's called a gaggle.
Do you want me to go first? You go first. You'll go first. Okay.
What size are the lots?
You'll have to ask them.
Okay. It doesn't say that anywhere.
You're here to answer any questions that have come up. Nothing new.
And we thank the people who came out this evening. It's a terrific piece of property, and we did our best efforts to communicate to as many residents through a couple of open houses and provided them information. So we recognize that's a change in the community. I'll touch on traffic a little bit and the glare of the lights. Recognizing, and I'm not a traffic engineer, but I've been to a couple of these meetings as well as you folks, and you know that half the traffic will go up to one side onto Beaverbrook, the other half on the Lanark. Most of it will go towards the Lanark side because downtown is the draw. So the traffic in the morning and the traffic in the evening is going to be heading westbound more towards that street and up to the set of lights on Academy. Do recognize that the residents who live across the street directly from a potential T intersection, Tony and Ryan greatly respect that, understand that, and they're willing to provide some planting in the front yard of those residents to try to prevent any kind of glare. Because it isn't, we see that would be a benefit. They've learned a lot, like they said, about trees and vegetation. So that's something they're willing to do to try to provide to those residents, is to work with them, provide some landscaping, and help address any kind of issues with traffic glare. But the idea is to have that road centered so that any traffic coming out, and once again, it's only one lane roadway. There's only one lane coming out. The other lane is going, of course, inbound, eastbound, one lane going westbound out into Beaverbrook, is to line that street as much as possible so it's going between the 6-foot side yard between the two houses and not directly into anybody's window. But once again, they're willing to get into landscaping.
A few more comments based on the comments from the community. Laura, Kenny, if I've got...
Laura.
sorry?
Maura.
Maura Kenny, addressed a couple of issues, and we do really respect her comments. We spend quite a bit of time in the community at two open houses and spoke to quite a few people. We do definitely understand the issues surrounding the perception that this was a dog park. Many members of the community came out in discussions and explained that they were quite happy that this area was going to be developed, in that there were obviously issues with the green space itself associated with dogs being in the park all the time, that at times the park was unusable for a large portion of the community because of, you know, issues related to dogs. That was comments by many members of the community. She commented on the traffic. These two streets, Lanark and Beaverbrook, are no different than any street or combination of streets from Keniston to Stafford and River Heights. We're not asking for any additional density that any one of those streets can accommodate. Normally, had a school not been there, this land would have been developed 80 years ago, and the streets would not have been developed any differently to accommodate the traffic had those houses been built at the time. Laura commented on us cramming in houses. We've spoken to Michael about this, and as we move forward, he's explained to us that there's a practice in the planning community that takes into consideration the density of the surrounding 200 feet from all corners of a particular piece of property. And we've had this conversation and are obviously willing to build something appropriate for the density that exists in the neighborhood. R1M would actually allow 25-foot frontages and 3,500 square feet. But as Michael's explained to us, we would be obliged to work into something that fits into the neighborhood. John's addressed some of Nelson's concerns. I couldn't quite understand the plan that you described, but needless to say, we spent a pile of time and a significant effort on a pile of different plans. These weren't drawn at a whim. We consulted professionals, landscape architects, took ideas and opinions from the community, and at the end of the day, respecting the existing community of front streets, back lanes, sidewalks, this was the most logical plan for this particular piece of property. It's slightly bizarre in the way that it, the sizing that it can't fit four streets and back lanes, but again, a lot of time was spent on this. In the planner's report, he comments on T-sections being quite common, just to touch on what John addressed, T-sections being quite common on in the neighborhood, specifically these two streets, and that, as Councilor Orlico mentioned, if there would be a T-section on Lanark or two of them on Lanark, if it wasn't on Beaverbrook, this plan originally was devised to address some of the green space on Beaverbrook and Grosvenor. In terms of assessed values, hard to speculate. All of us would be speculating at this point. Our opinion, though, is that once the development's done, attractive, tasteful homes would add to the value, probably not detract from it. Nelson's comment that we didn't get a true impression from the community. Both of our open houses were very well advertised. We had over 100 people attend the first one, 60 to 70 attend the second one. We had sign-in sheets. We had feedback. We've collected information from the community on our website, 386beaverbrook.com, for the last 2.5 months. We've had a long time and believe we do have a true impression of what the community is looking for. To some of Bruce's comments, probably not the forum to talk about infill housing, but we believe it meets most of the criteria from Plan Winnipeg and other documents the city addresses. Bruce addressed some issues with another development that a few blocks away. One of the reasons we're looking to get something done here today is that we are well aware, having spoken to the community at depth, of the issues surrounding the previous property. We are committed to doing this in a timely and fair and conscious way to ensure that the issues associated with construction are well understood, and we'll do everything we can to mitigate them during the development process. And I think that's everything. Sorry, Councillor Urlico, to address your question previously.
Yeah.
I think it was addressed, but in our original plan, without getting into detail, these blocks were 120 feet in depth, 120 feet in depth, and 120 feet in depth.
Right.
Now that the planner's report asked for 4.5 feet here, mm-hmm. all we wanted to do is to ensure that this block stayed 120 feet, which would push the road by 4.5 feet. This block remains 120 feet, and then the block on Grosvenor would lose the 4.5 feet, mm-hmm. it being 116 and, or 115 and a half, as opposed to this block. So that's all, if it wasn't clear in my original presentation. Oh, sorry, yes. Sorry.
Are you through?
No, I think so. They may be through. So the problem I have at this point is that I'm stuck today. There's some things I'd like to look at redesign, but I think we're already getting pretty muddled here. So I'm going to throw one out only. I'm still concerned about that road that cuts through the property. I personally just don't like it. Is there the option in your viewpoint, and again, I even hazard to say it because it's using that back lane as your main, opening that up even more, the back lane, using that as your main entrance point, and then pushing that middle road almost to a pathway. Is that?
This back lane?
Go up higher? Yeah, up all the way to the top.
This
way.
Back lane?
Yeah, so now that for block, whatever it is, block one and block three, their main entrance points now would be coming off that back lane. That lane stays,
yep.
But the top lane, the horizontal back
lane.
And then that middle lane, that little road you have, would become a pathway. We squish that down.
Councillor, I can't speak for the fire department, but I've seen that this block here is well over about 300 feet long, and it's, the second means of access would be from back lanes, and the fire department opposes those types of developments. That this was even a pathway. They like access from two streets. This is too long to be a cul-de-sac. You're limited in terms of the length of a cul-de-sac.
Yes, it does.
And the second means of access can't be from a back lane. I know that. I went to a development in St. Mikkel or several of them where they don't allow that. They don't allow access from a public back lane as the second means of access. It's either a street or a cul-de-sac, and the cul-de-sac would be quite significantly shorter than 300 feet.
The whole property is 440 feet wide.
Right. So a cul-de-sac 300 feet long is gone by trust. The fire department will close that.
Yeah, I'm seeing the head shake in agreement with administration here.
Well, I'm not quite sure if you had a cul-de-sac, is this what you're talking about?
No, I'm just thinking,
let's close that off. No, that stays, it just comes down. This becomes bigger. This now becomes a main road through. This actually will eliminate that path.
So this
would
be a back lane for
a Lake Centennial. It would be the back lane / front street model.
Oh, Radford design.
No, it's not.
Is he talking like
that? No, making the back lane on the north.
Oh, the north is a street.
A street.
One street. Oh, I think that is a street?
Yeah.
Wow. That would still be too long. We'd have to make another cul-de-sac at the end. No, you
can't have a street dead end, right?
That would be here.
Dead end street. You'd have
right. This is the street.
You'd have to have this.
It's an existing back lane.
Yeah,
this
is a street.
Yeah. Make a back, a real back, like yeah, like Centennial is, where you have that apron onto it, and that's the main access point into the property. And then, do they still require the street that goes through the property then?
Then you have a street here in
yeah.
the back lane.
In the back lane, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this back lane, and then this will come through here.
And what would this
a path or whatever? Are we going to the land of hurt?
Yeah. That really is a major sort of redesign,
okay.
If you want. And
well, no.
It's,
I know I could lay it over, but before I go, would that be something you would think about, or is that idea what I'm proposing, or is that
pretty radical redesign? I don't.
Is it?
Because you're just losing a road in the middle.
But
I don't know. I don't know your whole layout plan, right?
There's, I think there's some issues with dead end streets. We understand there's a, you know, if that was main access, that there need, you know, if this somehow to become a street.
That's the other option.
Vehicles need to be able to fire vehicles. All residents need access and be able to turn around. And this radius and this back lane here wouldn't accommodate. And
oh, that's
be able
right.
to get in and get out. So we understand you can't have.
No,
dead
that's
end
why
street,
I couldn't
right?
get the buses through there. That's right. Yeah. When I tried to do the bus loop over there. That's right. Yeah, I recall. It's yeah. All right. Right. Okay. That's right. Right. Thank you. I forgot. Yeah. Okay. The other question I have is, how long? How long is this? Do you have any idea how long this construction is going to take?
Our plan would be to impose, developer deadlines, guidelines. We don't want, weekend warrior out there with a hammer and nails for the next 10 years building their home, right?
Yeah.
So we will pick a reasonable period of time. We can't speculate on deadlines right now because we don't know. Right. How this is going, but we would expect that 2 years or less. Construction is obviously affected by when you're able to get going. So, if we were able to move this along, at some point in as this moves along, there's a process through the city. We were hoping to have services in by the end of this fall. If this could happen, which would give builders or individuals time, this is just speculation, over the winter to have their home designed and ready to go for spring of next year. Again, based on discussions and what would be reasonable, our plan would be to have the exterior of homes landscaped, fences, exterior siding, cladding. If the interior isn't done, it's one thing, but the exterior done so that mitigate the effect on the community as quickly as possible. So we would, again, we can't speculate or provide deadlines right now, but we're very conscious of what happened a couple of blocks over. We heard that loud and clear from the community. And part of our requirements as we sell these lots will be that they're completed in a timely fashion, and we'll work towards some sort of punitive measure to guarantee that this happens in a timely fashion.
Okay, and I'm going to be adding, if I prove this, probably will, is... when you come back with the design stage aspect of it, we're going to be asking you about the construction as well. Mostly what I'm going to be looking for is parking your construction vehicles on site in a lot that you're not building yet. Get it off the street, get them onto your own site, get them off the people. At least do that for the people in the neighborhood. And keep those, even the main developer is great, we have all the subcontractors that they park everywhere. So we need to have a spot on the site that we can tell you're supposed to park in there.
Yeah.
And I guess my last question is over just to the foresters. This plan that we're looking at, the amended one that came out today, will that preserve those tree roots and be acceptable to the forestry department?
Well, we've had some discussion on that, on the extent of that line. I prefer it still to go further than what's presented in the arborist report. And I can't remember.
The administration is recommending 30 feet, and the applicant would like to provide 22 feet.
30 feet. I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, can we?
No.
We cannot. Okay.
I'll just get there.
Sorry, and I have a different minute, so I was giving you the wrong page number.
Is that it there? No, is that it? Just gotta find my script here.
I gotta go to page 4.
Okay. The report of public service be taken as read.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
The receipt of public information be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.